I just want to say that it's a real privilege to work with Colin. Colin is an amazing man, and I've learned a lot from him, and he's got great vision. So I just want to encourage you to really hear what the Spirit is saying through him this morning, because I just feel that things are going to shift in our thinking as we listen to it. So I just want to pray for Colin. Lord, we just thank you for Colin, Lord. We thank you that he's leading River, and Lord, we just pray just that he would just be free just to share all that you've put in his heart, Lord, that your Spirit would fill him and flow out of him, Lord, and just give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Come on. I just so love that worship time. Thank you, Andy. Really appreciate it. I don't need a preach on a Sunday morning when we get worship like that. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Come on. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Oh, Jesus. That's the thing that keeps me going. That's the thing. Because, you know, the truth is, guys, you know that I let you down. I'm failing quite often. And I've let down many people in this room. And yet your grace extends towards me, and I thank you for that. But there is one truth that remains. There is one truth that remains. God loves us. And I want to just prophesy that over each heart in this room right now, that whatever you may think of yourself this morning, the Father looks at you and he says, I love you. And I want the very best for you. I'm working in your life for the very, very best. His love never fails, never gives up. It never runs out on you. I want to declare that prophetically over each heart. Come on. It's good to know we've got a God who perseveres. You know, I've really enjoyed this year. I've had a fantastic year. Thank you so much, church. You're a great bunch of people to be among. It's a very inspiring place to be and a very loving place to be. And one of the things that really blessed me this year was this book, Hosting the Presence by Bill Johnson. Who's read it? I gave it to all my leadership team, about 40 people. See, half of them have read it. What can you do? His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. But this book, seriously, I want to tell you, this book is probably in the top two books I've read, outside of the Bible, obviously, which is my ultimate number one. But this book is probably the top two books that I've read my entire Christian life. And the other one was Roger Forster's book, God's Strategy in Human History, which is a bit academic. But this one's not. This one is very easy for us to grasp and to dwell on and to meditate on and to live out if we're feeling brave. So we're going to start off and looking at what's God doing in the UK. I was going to start higher than that, but I think that's a bit kind of presumptuous of me to say what's God doing in the universe at the moment. But holding it together sustains all things. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we're going to look at there and see how we got here. Look at Pioneer's part, River's part, the congregation's part, and then come down to my part and your part and to see how that all meshes together. So if it works, it'll be great. So pray for me. And stay with me if it's a bit dizzyingly high at the beginning and you don't really get it. Hang on, because it will get more relevant to you as we go. Okay? Is that a deal? Thank you. More grace. What is God doing in the 20th century? Because, you know, I know what Vicky said at the end of that, her first part of leading the meeting, after we showed that IHOP video, I know that there were some thinking, oh, here we go again. I know that. You don't have to be around charismatic church for longer than 5 years before you meet people that have been there, seen it, done it, bought the T-shirt, signed up to the revival, and then got disillusioned and just disappointed because it hasn't happened yet. I've been there. I had a massive disappointment. I remember walking in the grounds of a time away as a church back in the late 90s, about 98, and talking to Anthea Ratton, one of my dear friends. Is she in the room? I can't remember. But I just say, I feel disillusioned. I've been there. And I know there are many people here that would feel that at different times. Because the thing is, you see, often our timescales are not God's timescales. And we're looking in the short term. We're impatient. We're impatient. And you know, if we're impatient, we can lose it. You know, Abraham had to wait 25 years for the first child from his loins, for the first child with Sarah. 25 years. Love never fails. It never gives up. Even when your body's as good as dead, it looks like it's no hope. There's always hope. And that's one thing that the Lord has already spoken to me this year. There are going to be doors of hope opening over people's lives this year. And I wanted to prophesy that over you as well today. For those of you who are looking ahead and can't see the way forward and can't see the way past some of the obstacles that you can see, you can't see the door of hope. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to open a door of hope for you. And the door that I open, no one can shut. It says in Revelation chapter 3, the door that I open, no one can shut. The door that I open, Helen, no one can shut. I'm going to open a door of hope for you, a surprise door that you can't see. We can get a bit jaded and think, oh, here we go again, talk of revival, etc. But look, just think for a moment, will you? I mean, when I think about what God has done in the last 50 years, I jump up and down. Come on, Evelyn, you can jump up and down with me. You've seen a lot of that. You've been around the church for a long time. You've seen many, many changes that have happened. It's not all good, I grant you that, but there's been some great stuff happening. Yeah. And when I think about it, there's some highlights up there. I get excited about that. Not about the time of the 20th century where the church was generally in decline in this nation, and it was what I call a time of denominations, a time of dinosaurs. No, not a time when people were defensive and speaking badly about one another. No. Look what's happened. We've had a move of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was resisted in the church. No doubt about that. So much so that many churches were formed in the 60s and 70s because youth groups got kicked out of the church. Our church was one such church. We started because we got kicked out of a traditional church because the vicar at the time couldn't cope with what was happening. House churches were born. Spiritual gifts were restored to the church. It was a time of great excitement. Revival's coming, we all thought. Hallelujah. People are getting saved very easily. The gifts of tongues are coming. Prophecy's coming. Gift of healing is starting to be stirred up by John Wimber, etc. This is exciting. And then, of course, we get to Toronto, and we all get a bit confused around Toronto, it seems, in this country. We miss it completely, the real heart of it, and we spend all our time debating the wild manifestations that happened and the crazy stuff that was happening in meetings and saying, is this from God or is this not from God? And actually, that wasn't the message. The message was the Father's heart, and we missed it. For those who got it, like Heidi and Roland Baker, they've now planted 4,000 churches in Mozambique. They got the Father's heart message. Their lives were transformed, and they took it and implemented it, and God blessed their work. But that message was not lost on this nation. God persevered. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And he persevered with us through our silliness, through our bickering about manifestations. And what happened in that time was a lot of churches that weren't moving in the gifts of the Spirit, that had kicked out people who were moving in the gifts of the Spirit, started to embrace them. And old churches, traditional churches, started to take the lead in them. How audacious. So Alpha starts with its Holy Spirit Day. Hold on a minute, our church should be having the Holy Spirit Day, not the Anglican church. But God's no respecter of persons. I love it when he does that. And the old catches up and overtakes the new. Praise God. Praise God, because that what that is meant is there's a level playing field. What that has meant is now that the age of just wondering what the other people are doing and speaking negatively about it's finished. I don't hear that anymore. Very rarely, you get the occasional very religious person speaking that way, but most of the time it's very positive. We speak positively about one another and we're willing to work together for the sake of the kingdom. It's no longer about denominations. We don't care about denominations anymore. It's for the sake of the kingdom, and the kingdom only matters because the kingdom is a kingdom of love, of joy, of peace, of righteousness. Come on. It's exciting. God has done all that in 50 years. Hallelujah. Come on. His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Come on, I get excited by that. You can make, I don't know. Maybe I'm odd. It's all okay. Can I be odd? Thank you. I mean, that really, really excites me. Pioneer's part. You know, Billy and Caroline took over Pioneer 3 or 4 years ago. And, sorry? Was it a bit more than that, was it? Oh, well, I've lost track now, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Time flies, you see. And I was excited by that, A, because Billy was an old friend of mine. He organised the meeting I got saved at in 1987, back in Southampton, when I first... Actually, it was the second time I asked Jesus into my heart, but the first time I actually delivered on it and started to act like I meant I was inviting him into my heart. And I joined a church thereafter, and that was the beginning for me of my growth. And he now leads a big church in Southampton, new community, and they hold their meetings in the Central Hall, Southampton, which was built in 1928 by the Methodists. And... you're going to hear some of this in a minute. I'm going to show a video. But one of the first conferences he held for the pioneer leaders, a guy called Mark Jobe came along. And Mark Jobe was working over in Chicago for New Community Church, or New Life Community. And he came over with this message. He said, we're planting churches all the time over in Chicago. But we're not planting new churches. What we're doing is we're sending teams of people who are full of the Holy Spirit, who are full of revival fire, who carry the anointing of leadership into churches that are old and failing and seeing them reborn. And he said that I think it's somewhere between 12 and 18 churches that they'd seen that happen to over a period of a few years. That was an exciting message. We didn't really know what the significance of that. But what happened then was God has given Billy a connection into the very highest level of the Methodist movement. Pioneer now have talks with, at a national level, this is ridiculous, okay? Pioneer, how many churches are we? 70? 75? Maybe 80 if we're evangelistic. But the Methodist movement, thousands upon thousands of churches. And they said, will you partner with us? How humbling is that? It's ridiculous. It is totally ridiculous. We are the new boys. We're the small boys. But the thing is, you see, they are facing a crisis. And they reckon at a national level, this is not other people telling them, this is their own leadership reckoning that if things don't change, if something dramatic does not happen, they will be closing 4,000 churches in the next 15 or so years. We need something greater than John Wesley to dance around this land. We need something greater than John Wesley. And then we had this meeting in London this year for such a time, organised by Billy and Stuart Bell from Lincoln. Yep, and invited lots of national leaders from the new churches and one or two others. And the Methodist guy came along, who's now the head man, the head honcho, the big cheese, le grand fromage, of all Methodism. And he spoke so well. And what he said was, I'm sorry, I apologise to you. Oh, my word. I wept. There was such anointing on that man's words as he said, I am sorry for what we did to you 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I am sorry we kicked you out. I am sorry we were jealous of you and we didn't know how to handle you. I am sorry that we resisted the work of the Holy Spirit at that time. And the truth is, he said, we were jealous, we were envious, we didn't understand it, we were scared, so we kicked you out. And I want to apologise and welcome you back in partnership. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's the spirit that's moving on the church in the UK now. That's the spirit of Billy and Caroline, who lead Pioneer, are moving us into working in partnership. You heard me spoke about this at Riverfest 12. You know, the Holy Spirit is wanting us to work together in this season. It's a time for the kingdom, not for denominations. Just watch a video for me.
Challenge of mission in the UK is greater than ever. 94% of the population have little or no contact with the church. Across our towns, the same story is unfolding. Churches that once had thriving congregations and meaningful
community. Our heart is to see our cities and our towns transformed with the good news that is the love of Jesus. What would it look like if genuine partnerships could be formed around this very mission? Could we see church congregations that once had great history restored? And could we see ancient buildings with amazing heritage revived again? And together we can serve our communities.
So, you know, if this was someone's plan, I might be mildly interested. It might sound like a good idea. It might sound like something that, yeah, I can, it might work. It's possible. But the thing that excites me about this, guys, is it didn't originate in the heart of any man. It was not planned. It was not purpose. It was not strategized. Came out of some nice blue sky thinking. This came about by circumstance. And if you believe in these things, by the hand of God. Bringing people together who could help each other. And you know, Pioneer is starting. And when Billy was faced up with this, you know, he had a few connections with Pioneer Church, with Methodist churches, and where Pioneer was partnering with them in Southampton and one or two other places. And then the Methodists started saying to him, right, they started taking him around different regions. And said, and when he'd go there, they say, oh, can you help? And Billy's answer is always yes. That's a bit audacious, really, isn't it? But every time Billy has said yes, God has provided someone. God has met the need. Even when Billy has gone to places where he knows no one, sometimes it's great. He goes somewhere and actually he already knows there's someone that can help. Fantastic. That's nice and easy. Well, relatively. There's still a lot of work to do. But he's gone to places where there's no connections. We have no churches. We have nobody. And then within a week or two, we have a connection. Comes out of the blue. People have said, I want to plant a church in this area. Do you know of anywhere? And you think, actually, we do know someone who's looking for leaders. And we've been able to connect. See, God is in this thing.
Absolutely.
God is in this thing because God is for the UK. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. And now Billy was thinking and praying about this and said, Lord, you know, who are we? Pioneer, really? We can't do much. You know, we're a small organization, 70 churches or so. And he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, can you believe me for 10% of the Methodist problem? And I'll provide another 9 partners for the other 90. And Billy said, yeah, I can do that. I can believe for 10%. That's 400 churches. That's big. But actually, if we're going to go for something, let's go for something in God together, which we can't do. Eh? No one's going to say, not many people are saying amen to that, but it excites me because I can't do that. Amen. Billy can't do that. But God can do that. And then now, this is where it gets a bit tricky, you see, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, amen, Billy, go for it. You could do it, mate. You could do 400 churches, no problem. Come on. It's always easy to encourage someone else's faith to step out in the ridiculous, isn't it? To encourage someone else to step out into the River Jordan. Don't worry, the Lord will open a way for you, brother. The Lord is with you. That's very easy to say. But when we've got to do it ourselves, then it starts to get a bit harder. And Billy then he came to our leadership gathering back at the end of November. And we had a fantastic time with them. And he inspired us as a leadership with this message. And he said, guys, I'm believing as a movement that we can take 400. Now, I'm looking to my hubs, the churches that are building something, you know, substantial in their regions to help me. And he said, he views River Church as an emerging hub, a place that other people will look to for leadership and to connect with. And he says, will you believe for 10% of my problem? 40 churches. Anybody see how we can do that? Can you come and explain to me how we can do that in a minute, Howard? I'd like to know. Because actually, I can't see how to do that. But that's the very thing that makes me want to dance. Because his love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. So yeah, I say, yes, Billy, we're going to help with this. I believe that God can do that through us. I can't do it, no way. But I believe that God can raise up leadership for 40 churches. Not to take over churches, not to make them river churches, but actually just to send out people who are our very best, who are inspired by the Spirit of God, fill up with the love of God, knowing the power of God, and actually going to bless other churches and work with them to see them revitalized and re-energized and replanted. I believe we can see that. And you know, for me, the big year is key in that. I want to just honor at this point Di Chapman for the work she's put into that over the years, alongside with Vicky and Jan too. You know, that's been a very important vehicle for us in our own training, our own development of people. And many of you have been blessed by it. But, you know, we've got to see that relaunch this year or next year. It depends who you talk to. But we're working hard. We've been working hard on reviewing it and updating it. What we really need to do, to be honest with you guys, is to see a breakthrough with our marketing of it. Because actually, we're not big enough as a group of churches to run something like that just from internal people. We could run a course of five or six people, you know, every year. That'd be okay. We could do that. But actually, we need to run it for 20. And so we just have to get much better about being organized and around our marketing, around visiting and getting other churches involved. And Billy Kennedy, who leads Pioneer, is keen to back us up with that. And they're working with us. And we're actually meeting with them this week to discuss how the Big Year fits in with the Pioneer vision of training. And so that we have a coordinated approach across all our 70 churches for marketing and stuff. So watch this space. It should be good. Anyway, I'm excited by that. I hope you are too. But it's I'm scared by it. I must tell you, I'm absolutely terrified. But to tell you the truth as well, my best mountain walks have been the ones I've been the most terrified. It's just, you know, and it's going to be hard work. And it fits so well with our, you know, our vision, you know, what we feel God has called us to as River. It fits so, so well. You know, we believe that God has called us to impact our communities and see reformation in the church through the love and power of God. And this fits so well with the second part of that. We believe that God has called us to be a resource church to influence a nation. That's not a boastful thing. Because I know that that's not in us, but actually God has spoken over us. If God speaks it, you have to believe it's true. So therefore we walk into that, looking for him to open the doors. So, that's our... You know, we're going to continue with that strategy. We've already started with our gold values, goodness, openness, love, dynamic power. They're at the heart of all we are and do. We continue to want to knead those into every area of life, into each heart, into each life, into each grouping, into each department, into each congregation. Alongside our community aims of looking on the face of Christ, loving everyone we meet, and living like heaven is near, believing that these are things that God has wants to put deep in each one of us. That will make us all centres for revival. Great channels for his blessing on this land at this time. And of course, you know, Jesus is the answer. As every child will tell you in Sunday school. Whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. But we have to present him well. We have to present him well. And then the church has not presented him well over the last 100 years, in generally, in this country. We need to present him well and build a church that will attract people, not put them off. So we want to do that. And we do that by making it a loving place. We want strong congregations. And above all, obviously, we're going to depend on the Lord because no strategy of ours is going to succeed. Some of the goals we want to see established this year, I'm going to quickly run through those. But we want to see Edge established our youth work. Because Dave handed it on this year to Steve Ambrose. But that's been a difficult process, so we're still working on that. Slough leadership, we're hoping that the Moody's are going to come back to us. They've made their application for visas this week. Lord Jesus, open the way. They've been a great blessing on the Slough leadership, on the Slough congregation. But we're looking for them to come back. And then we're looking for Slough to go back into Slough. They're currently in the Windsor Hall.
their website. We have a new look and feel to the website, and this week or next week, I'm meeting with people. Or this week, actually, meeting with people to look at the content to try and get that finished this term. We're reviewing and relaunching Deeper, one of our main presence meetings. We're going to take everybody through the big story. When I was in California earlier in the year, I came across some resources for the children ministry, and Sadie's looked at those, and she's now rolling them out across all the congregations that want them, for the 3s to 11s. And we want to invest in our kids so that they really grapple with the scriptures and really start to understand who they are in Christ at a very young age. And we want to be very deliberate about that, so we're investing in good materials for them and some great values about speaking blessing over them at every meeting that they're in as well. So that's for the children, but the youth are also doing the similar kind of thing with Edge. And as adults, I'm going to be taking us through my own four-week series of the big story as part of that, so that we all get a glimpse of the big picture. We're also in the process of rebuilding reviewing our finance department, which Andrew is handling for us. That's been quite tough for us this year. There's been so many changes that happened I won't go into because it's too long to explain, but it just needs your prayers over that still. And we also need to see our income go up, because actually if we want to achieve all that we have in mind, we need a budget of 370 minimum. So, you know, I'm just going to keep on raising it up in prayer and hoping that will go up, and looking to strategize and to see what we can do to improve that. Okay, our congregations leaders, please, will you come forward? I just want to honor these guys. Yeah. Come on. They are a great bunch of people to work with, and just wanted to speak for a couple of minutes each and just to give their highlights of their hearts for this year. Dave.
Good morning, everybody. Marlow is a great place to be. I'm not going to take much of your time. I've got this kind of phrase that in Marlow we're a family on a mission, and I think that we're fantastic at being family, nice and safe and loving and welcoming and all that kind of stuff, but actually what we really need to work on in 2013 is the mission side of that, really. It's getting out in the town, it's becoming dangerous, it's getting known in the town. I feel like we're hidden church at the moment, so it's working on our advertising, our PR, so that everyone knows who we are in the town, that, you know, I want, when people think of, you know, a problem that's going on in their lives, that they think, hey, how about we go to River Church for that answer? It's about building our portfolio for evangelism. So it's developing an alpha team, one chili through to three chili evangelism, easy stuff and scary stuff. It's about seizing the opportunity we have with Marlow Youth and Community Centre to develop a portfolio of community activities. And what else? Oh, yeah, on a local level, there's a real fantastic opportunity to partner with churches in the same way that it's happening nationally. Just last week, I was in a fantastic Churches Together leaders meeting, and we're having discussions. You know, Richard, the guy from URC, was saying, look, we're in decline. Is there any way that we could work together? And, you know, we're having these discussions. We're partnering with Marlow Christian Fellowship to launch a new youth club, and just it feels like there's so many opportunities to partner together locally. Those really need to be seized in 2013, and I think also potentially we need to change venues as well, because we're outgrowing our hall. So that's my heart for 2013. Sorry, and it's all about reaching people for Jesus.
Come on. Amen. Thanks, Dave. Die.
Okay, well, as you've just heard, we've had some big changes over the last year in the Slough congregation. I took over the leadership in June, and we moved to a temporary new venue in the Windsor Hall. And as you've heard, last summer, the family, the Moody family, who I'm sure most of you know, Ian and Sabina, and their three boys came for the summer, and they liked us. So they have gone back to New Zealand and are applying for a visa, and we hope to hear that they'll be here very, very soon. So I've been interim leader since June, and God has done some really good things over in amongst us. We've been in the Windsor Hall as a Slough congregation, and obviously one of our focuses for this year is to find a really good venue in Slough. So if any of you know of a good venue in Slough or have some connections, we'd love to hear from you. We don't want to just rush into something, but we want somewhere that is chosen by God that we will feel at home with. One of the key things that we've been seeking to do throughout the summer and up to now is really build the people together. Not just a whole lot of random people, but people that feel joined, people that feel a family. And the very fact that we've been in the Windsor Hall has facilitated that. It's just an easier building to be in. So we've really enjoyed that. And the church has grown. We've had new people come, and it's been great, actually. The meetings have been cracking meetings, and it's been standing room only on several occasions. You know, where's Richard Whiffin? I'm sure we're breaking the law sometimes, but it's been very good. In terms of our vision for Slough, that's never changed. You know, we want to reach out to the different ethnic groups in Slough. Outside of London, Slough apparently has more ethnic groups than, outside of London. So we want to reach out and have our church in Slough a reflection of all those those groups that we read about in the book of Revelation that are around the throne of God. And we want a congregation that reflects that. And so we've been prayer walking in the communities, and we're looking for praying for key people that will open up those different communities. And we're praying that the Moody's will come back and take over the leadership of the team in Slough, and we will see great growth. And I've got no doubt that this time next year we will be huge.
Hi everybody. Well, this is our vision in Maidenhead. If you're a member of the Maidenhead congregation, would you like to say this with me now? Okay, our vision is to give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus. And that's what we're all about in the Maidenhead congregation. We've got three areas that we focus on: our Sunday meetings, our congregation life, and our community around us. So on our Sunday meetings, we want to have meetings that are full of life, that are full of the presence of God, that are interesting, that are exciting, that are welcoming to visitors and congregation alike. We want people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways in our meetings. In our congregation life, we want that to be something that is fun, that we are a family and that we relate together and we build community together. So vibrant small groups, congregation events, relationships built, a family that we can draw people into from our community who need to know the love and the grace and the goodness of God. And the third area, Tim, can I have that third slide? We want to be a church that has left the building. We want what we've got in here, which is fantastic, out there in our community. So we've spent 2012 doing various outreach events like Santa's on the Street, Healing on the Street. We've done the Larchville Festival. We've done Alphas. We've done all manner of things. And in 2013, we want to continue to reach out into our community centre. We have an Alpha course starting next week in the Larchville Community Centre. And we fly at the Larchville Estate on Saturday. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for doing that. To advertise it, but we want to be a church that has left the building. And I've just got one encouraging story for you, really brief one, that illustrates this. We went out on the 15th of December at the request of the town centre management into Maidenhead to do Santa's on the Street. I had 50 mad congregation members dressed as Santa, and we went out to bless our high street, if that's possible. And we went out giving free hot chocolate, balloons to the kids, face painting, free chocolate, biscuits, what have you. We just wanted to be a blessing. We wanted to pray for people, chat to people, and we wanted to invite people to our production on the 23rd of December of the Christmas story. And we did that. And one Santa spoke to a couple, a young married couple, and invited them to come. And they came, and they brought both sets of parents. There were six adults came along. And I met them before the production started, and they said, "We've come because your church were on the high street and you invited us." Yay, that was really good. But then I spoke to them afterwards, and they were speechless. They said, "We have never experienced anything like that before." So the church left the building, went out onto the street, encountered people, invited them in, and they encountered Jesus. That is what we're about in Maidenhead.
So I lead the journey, which is in Enkerfield Green, and our vision is create an environment that brings freedom and releases destiny, and we just want to see that in everything that we do. And so our strength really is our community, living in a village. We all live near to each other, and so out of that we're really wanting to reach out into the village. We've got Royal Holloway University, and we've got an estate called the Forest Estate, and lots of rich people living in big houses. So we've got these three different communities, and we really feel called to reach each one of those. We've had the most amazing opportunities in the last year to really reach out into the estate, which is something we're going for this year. We've been given the British Legion building. We're leading a multi-agency group, so working with the council, the police, the children's centre, lots of others. And we just have had such an amazing opportunity to really bless this estate. It's the third highest area of deprivation in Surrey. And just really amongst the children 8 to 12, which was identified as a problem area, is the place where we've had the most impact so far. We opened it at the end of October. And, you know, I just love it. Kelly, who works really closely with it, we love it as well. It's complete madness, but it's just so great to really be impacting their lives. We're also, you know, reaching out into the university is a key thing that we want to do, which hasn't been as strong as it was in the past. And that's been an area of concern for us. We want to see breakthrough in this year. But through this project we're doing on the estate, we've started to work more closely with Royal Holloway, and we have a number of students who aren't yet Christians that we're now working very closely with to do this project. So it seems like God's doing something in that, which is really exciting. So this year I want to see people becoming Christians, knowing God's love, and us actually see change in the estate and at Royal Holloway. And also worship. We want to see, we're really grateful for what's happened in our worship in the last year. We've really seen a lot of breakthrough in that, and we want to see that happen more. We want to see a release of more creativity. So it just gives you a bit of an idea of what we're going for this year.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I really love those guys. They are fantastic people, let me tell you. They give their hearts and souls and their energies and everything to do what they do, and they carry quite a lot of weight. If you never led a congregation, you don't know what they carry. And I just want to honour them and just spend a minute just praying for them, Lord Jesus. Let's all just cry out to God for them. Wherever we are, let's just honour them and bless them and say, Father, we love those people, Lord God. Bless Dave and Kerry and Di and Vicky, Lord God. Thank you for them. Pour out your spirit upon them. Let your face shine upon them. Bless the work of their hands. Bless the inspiration of their hearts. Bless the thinking of their minds, Lord God, their planning. Let your spirit rest on them. Let your presence go with them throughout every moment of every day. Let them know that heaven is near. That you are there to back up every word that they speak and not let one word fall to the ground. We thank you for them, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, we get on to your part. That's quite handy because we're running out of time. I don't believe it. It's a bit old now, isn't it? But, you know. Because when I was thinking about what the Lord wanted to say to us this year, the phrase that came to me was the bottom one there, you know, which is to say that you are the light of the world. Some of you are looking down when I say that. But actually, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to speak over us right now. For you to receive it and to know it. Jesus, when he first began his ministry, took a bunch of people just like this up onto a mountainside. Sat down and taught them. And one of the first things he said to them was, you are the light of the world. And they thought, who? Who's he talking to? It's the one behind me. It's not me. Anybody else feel like that? Or is it just me? But that's the word of God to us. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, he says in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. And no one sets us a light, a lamp, and then hides it under a bucket. No one does that. What he does is he puts it in a high place
so it gives light to the whole room, the whole house. So he says, let your good deeds shine before men. That sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? Are we trying to show off here? No. No, no, no. But they have to be seen. Let your good deeds shine before men, that they may see and glorify your Father in heaven. We don't do it for ourselves. It's not about us. This is not about you and me. You know, I said it before, I don't care who runs this church, actually. What I want is the kingdom of God to come. That's the only thing I'm after. The only thing I want is for the churches, not including this one, in this town and in the towns around here, to so reflect the love of God that more and more people would join them. This is not about you and me. This is about the light of the world, which has been spoken over us by our God. And he says in Ephesians 9, chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that is what you are. A dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Because the truth is, for all of the plans and strategies and whatever else that we come up with and the activities that the church gets organized in, actually, there is no magic church as such. It's just you and me. That's what it is. Jackie, it's just you and me. Is that okay? And so when he says, you're the light of the world, that's you and me. We are God's chosen instrument to reach this world. We are the vessel for his Spirit. We are the hope of creation. I've got a little story I want someone to share, actually, which is a bit full of hope. Hazel, do you want to come out and quickly share your story from this year? This is Hazel, everybody. Hi. Say hello.
Hi, everyone. I have been a Christian for about 37 years, born into a Christian family. Ten commandments, you know, must try very hard, be a good person, don't get angry when people shove you in the tube because, you know, that's not very Christian-like. So, as you can well imagine, I fell into a deep depression by the time I was 20. Because it's, I have never ever found people who have touched me like people in River have. And I said I wasn't going to start crying until, you know, later. When I was 20 weeks pregnant, heaven forbid. Exactly. Our second baby was diagnosed with a cleft. I was born with a cleft myself, and it just opened all these old wounds, you know. Basically, when I was a child, my own family told me how ugly I was. And so I thought, oh no, my life, my poor son is going to be sentenced to a life of utter misery and depression. Alejandra, she's not here today, but she reached out and said, can Carrie and I come pray for you? So come along to Sanctuary. I thought, okay, I'll come along, which is every Saturday for all the women out there. And I just was really, really blessed. Vision, God gave me a vision, and people who know me will know I'm not the sort to see visions. You know, it's all very scientific. You may have had a hallucination, but it's definitely not God. You know, it's all the Word. It's all about the Bible. I was brought up very Methodist, very Anglican. And I just felt, you know, river, cleansing, water. Terry came and prayed with me, Rosalia and Alejandra. And the first thing they said to me wasn't, let's pray for your baby. It was, you have a lot of anger in you against people, leaders of your church when you were growing up. And I was like, really? I'm not actively aware of this anger, you know. Okay, but I will trust God, I will pray, and I will release this anger. And I still felt a lot of anger, actually, and I said to Carrie, well, actually, I still feel this anger after praying. What do I do? Pray some more. And the most amazing thing happened. I felt God's peace. 37 years, and I never felt this peace. I just felt like, I don't know if you know how it feels to be trapped in darkness, just utter depression. Yes, I functioned well, you know, graduated, got married, had kids, no one kid at that time. And when the diagnosis happened, you know, people, you know, my family were like, oh, draw closer to God. This is God's way of drawing you close to Him. And I just felt so angry. You know, I'm sure God's not doing this to punish me.
Amen. Come on.
And it just opened up a lot of, God really cleansed me. And I'm sharing the story because my encounters with people at River have really helped me along the way. I don't know you guys from Adam. You guys don't know me from Adam. But everyone here prayed for me. And even just talking to me, random strangers would go, Hazel, I can see you're up, you're sad. Let's pray right now and release the power of God in you.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe I've just been going to very British churches, you know, where everyone goes and we'll go home and pray for you. I've never, ever had people so joyful, so live your faith. Annie, Kim, lots of people whom names I don't know, which just, let's pray for this baby, let's pray for you. But, and praise the Lord, baby was born. Oh, before that, I had another vision, okay? So back to sanctuary one Saturday before I was about to give birth. I wasn't particularly emotional or anything, it was just another lovely worship. And I had this vision of an angel lying on top of me. Again, okay, this must be from God. Because, again, I don't see visions and I don't particularly believe in guardian angels and any of this stuff, right? And I spoke to Janet and Janet goes, oh, it's definitely a vision from God. I was like, oh, okay, this is great. So peace and calm came over me. I had gestational diabetes as well. So when do we induce the baby? Do we induce him so that, you know, he's a good weight in case his cleft is so bad I can't feed him on the breast? And I had a really bad pelvis. I was in a wheelchair for 6 months after the birth of my first child. And I was distraught, you know, when the diagnosis happened. How am I going to feed my child? I can't sterilize bottles. 3 a.m., hobble downstairs, hobble upstairs. Crying baby is going to wake everybody up. If the cleft was really, really, really bad, I don't know what I would have done. And delivery, the last time it was 40 hours. I was in a wheelchair. So lots of worry, but strangely enough, whenever I feel like you guys have given me the tools, God has really worked through you guys to bless me, my family, and just shown me how to pray, how to find God's peace. So every time I worried, I turned it into a prayer. And date for the inducement came along. My elder child was sick on Monday night, so no sleep. Tuesday morning, rocked up in there, and I thought, okay, let's see what happens now. oh, congratulations, you're 4 centimetres dilated. You need to be 10 to push the baby out. We'll find a bed for you. 3 a.m. comes along, so I've had no sleep for, I don't know how long now, about, what, 30 hours? They checked. Oh, no, you're still only 4 centimetres. Let's burst your waters. Okay, just do whatever you need to do, Lord, you know. But I still had this faith, even though I was so tired, that God was in control. 5:30, 2 hours after bursting my waters. Oh, you're 5 centimetres. Congratulations. And I just prayed, Lord, please give me supernatural strength because I cannot last another 5 hours. Basically, they say you're supposed to dilate 1 centimetre every hour. Guess what time the baby was born? 6:10. 40 minutes later.
Hallelujah.
Safe birth. I made it. And I was walking.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, praise the Lord. Now, all of you are probably wondering, what about the baby? Tell us about the baby. I guess to me, it didn't matter how bad the cleft was going to be. I knew that if I had God and God's faith, it would be okay. Or God's peace, basically. I would be able to handle it. But prayers do work, so baby's cleft wasn't as bad. If anybody had to have a cleft, this was the best case scenario. He has an incomplete cleft lip on the left side. But his gum, there was a little notch, and, you know, he's able to breastfeed, praise God. He's putting on weight according to his 50th percentile. I am so very, very, very grateful. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he also has an adrenal mass. This is what I mean, you know. All his health problems just seem to fade away because I know God is in charge. The geneticist goes, oh, we've never seen a cleft baby with a mass before. And at 20 weeks, when he was 16 centimeters, 2 centimeters was huge. Now he's 58 centimeters and it's still 2 centimeters. So I just want to thank everybody here for praying and just being so nice. You won't believe it. I had to Google to see where the river was a cult. My husband goes, are you sure they're Christian? They're just so normal. So,
that's a miracle.
We're just so touched, basically, you know. And it's all because one lady, her sister, extended the gift of friendship. Yeah. Said, come.
Amen.
Amen. They invited me to coffee mornings, and so, yeah. Don't just stop at saying hello, obviously, you know.
Thank you, Jason. That's amazing. Thank you. It's been a privilege to walk with you, that Hazel, so thank you for sharing with us. But basically, that's the message for us. The head needs a body. You know, Jesus needs us. Jesus needs you. And we can all do the kinds of loving things that Alejandra and Rosalia and many others in the Maidenhead congregation did for Hazel. To pray, to hug, to cry. We can all do that. And some of us will move out in the supernatural too and declare healing in the name of Jesus and see it happen, because we've seen it happen and it will happen continually. God is going to continue to work healings in this church, because that's the kind of God he is. He loves to heal. He doesn't have a plan B. We're it. We're it. He's sending us. It's unlikely though that seems. You know, I heard of one couple going into a psychiatric ward this week to go and pray with someone. But one of the people that went 10 years ago, I visited them in a psychiatric ward and prayed with them. And this is the way the kingdom works. God's kingdom comes slowly and powerfully. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. But it only comes through me and you doing acts of kindness. when we believe that we are what Jesus says we are, the light of the world that cannot be hidden. And I'm going to hand out some scriptures and some candles in a second. In fact, people might want to start handing them out now because we're running rather late. I'm sorry about that. Some people say, there he goes again. Are we okay? Okay. But, yeah. That's the other scripture he gave me for us to meditate on in this season. And I want to declare that over you right now. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And guys, we live in a period of history when there's a lot of fear around. Even if there's not a lot of war in Europe, in the West, there's an awful lot of fear. There's an awful lot of uncertainty. There's an awful lot of darkness on people's lives in this season. And we are the people of hope. We are the people of light. Not because we're special, not because actually we're clever or stronger, but purely and simply because we carry the gift of God, the favour of God. The God who wants to meet with every man, woman and child on the face of this planet. The God who wants to love every person but needs a body to love through. That's our call. That's our part. But the Lord will arise over you. Receive this right now. Because if you're one of these people like me, you say, oh, I can imagine other people doing that, but not me. But receive it for yourself. The Lord will arise over you. Sandra, the Lord will arise over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. You know, when I first got introduced to God, it was through someone I asked a question of. There was something about him. I didn't know what it was. He was a guy at university with me. But he was different. He seemed happy more often than most other people I knew, and I didn't know why. And I said to him one day, you seem to be happy a lot. What do you think life's all about? That was the light of the Lord shining from him. That was the glory of the Lord resting on him. I didn't know at the time. That was the Holy Spirit shining out of him. So I asked him that question, and he said to me, I'm a born-again Christian. And I thought, oh, no. But he introduced me to the God who loves me, and it changed my life. He was brave. And I want us to be brave this year, guys. I want us to be brave this year. And I want us to know that we are being sent out to people in our communities, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our social gatherings. We're being sent out as light. The light. And the glory of God is resting on each and every person in this room. The glory of God is resting on each and every person that's invited Jesus into their life, who wants to be part of this. If you're not part of it yet, invite God into your life this morning, and you will be part of this greater adventure too. You will be the light of the world. The moment you do that, you'll receive the gift of God. And people will come to us. You know, and I'm handing out candles because I want us to take this seriously. I don't want this to be a message which is nice for the morning and then you go away and forget about it. So I'm giving you something to remind you. Like I gave you something last year, which was the marbles. Anybody carrying their marble still? Yeah. Hallelujah. You lost your marble. Get a new one. He's lost all his marbles. Bless him. Lord Jesus, I've still got my marble. It reminds me to pray all the time for my neighbours that I've got put on my heart. I pray more for them this year than I have ever prayed. Because of this marble, I encourage you to carry them. But this light that I'm giving you this year, that we're giving you as a leadership team this year, is for you to spend some time meditating on these scriptures that we printed out for you. Because I know as you light the candle and spend time just alone with your Father and ask him, am I really a light? And if so, who am I a light to? Whose world am I a light in? Who needs an act of kindness in their lives that I can do? He's going to speak to us. And as I think about that, I'm already jumping up and down and being excited. I'm as excited about that as I am about the pioneer connection with the Methodists and the 400 churches that we're going to help them reinvigorate. I'm excited by the 400 people that we're going to invigorate when God speaks to us over this candle, and he speaks to us through these scriptures and inspires us that we are the light of the world. We will change the destiny of someone this year. You and me together will change the destiny of someone. And just like that, I loved Hazel's story. The reason I asked her to share it was because it was ordinary, everyday things that people did. It wasn't the super things, the super special things that people did for her that mattered. It was the ordinary, everyday things of love and kindness that we are all capable of doing, which changes lives. When it's done in the name of Jesus, even more powerfully. Let's go now. Let's make more and more people wonder about us and say, are we a cult? You're too nice. It can't be real. I mean it. I want that to be the case. Come on. We can do this, guys. We can do this. And I'm aware I've run out of time now, so I'm going to finish and pray and then release you all. Ricky can release you all, but... Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. You know, and if you're the kind of person like me, you can always think of someone else who would be better at this than I am. I'll be useless at this. God's not going to speak to me. I'm not going to be led to someone. I can see lots of other people around me that's going to happen for, but not me. I tell you, you're going to be the first. You're going to be the first, because God is no respecter of persons. He uses the weak to shame the strong, the foolish to shame the clever. Otherwise, he would never, ever have made me leader of a church. You know, God is amazing. The Lord is amazing. He loves us. He's looking to love through us. Lord Jesus, help us to know the truth of that. To dare to believe the truth that we are the light of the world, that we are the hope of this nation, that we are your first choice, your chosen vessel to reach our friends, our neighbours, our towns. And Lord God, as we go out from here this morning, filled again with your Spirit, hopefully, Father, with a fresh inspiration, a fresh excitement about what you're doing in the nation, but also in our communities and in our lives. Watch over these words, Lord God. Watch over these scriptures that we take away with us. Let them bear fruit in our hearts and in our minds as we meditate on them. And Lord God, above all, speak to us. Help us to hear your voice. You promise, you said that no man will teach his neighbour know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the greatest to the least of them. In this season, Father, for us, let that be true. Let everyone hear your voice and know your guidance and follow the promptings of your Spirit, be they ever so small, to walk in kindness, to go out to whom you're sending us to. So, Father, we ask you this morning humbly and say, who are you sending us to? Whose world are you calling us to be a light in this year, 2013, the year when surprising doors of hope are opening up? Are you going to use me to open a door of hope for someone? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in Hazel's life, Father, for little Hugo's life, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in that family. That's the first fruits, Lord Jesus. And we're excited at what you're doing in us and through us. And we're scared by the prospect of stepping out and risking looking stupid. But we ask for your courage and for your help to love. And we need your wisdom, Lord God. If we're to achieve half these goals, we need your wisdom, Lord Jesus. We totally depend on you. You're our senior partner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, and minister right now to every one of us. You are the light of the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord will rest upon you. And men will come to the brightness of your glory. Thank you, Jesus.